Let's pray together. Father, thank you today so much for all that you have done, all that you are doing. God, we thank you this morning for the incredible impact that the Edge Church is having on this community. God, we thank you for taking our church to a whole nother level this morning, God. We look forward to the great, great things you're going to do in our hearts during this hour of worship, as well as in the days to come. We cannot wait to see. We ask for your leadership, we ask for your guidance, and we ask you to bless this time. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You guys grab a seat. It is so wonderful to see you this morning. We are so excited to share this very special Sunday with you. God is doing some incredible things in the life of our church that I want to share with you. And I really believe that great movements of God and real spiritual transformation comes from seeing great dreams. And we serve a God that is a God of great dreams. And this church is a church that has its focus on the dreams of God. And so this morning I want to share with you today some powerful words about pursuing the dreams that God gives you. Pursuing the dreams that God has given us corporately as a local church. Now, in a few days, Steven Spielberg's new movie, Lincoln, is going to come out. It's going to be a great movie. Steven Spielberg, obviously, is one of the great directors of our generation. He's, you know, created all these really fantastic movies like E.T., you know, and Jaws, like in the 70s, and then Close Encounters of the Third Kind and Jurassic Park, and now Lincoln and Schindler's List, and the list just goes on and on and on. But Steven Spielberg is a dreamer. In fact, when he was a very young man, he had a dream that one day he would become a great director, and he knew that if he was going to do so, he needed to get on board at Universal Studios. And so, according to Steven Spielberg, one day he dressed up in a black suit and got on the tram that drove people through Universal Studios on a little trip and a tour. And during the bathroom break, he slipped away from everybody else, found an open door, and began to give himself his own tour of Universal Studios. Then before he left that day, he introduced himself to the security guard that worked the door, and the security guard thought he was a new intern. The next day, Spielberg says he showed up at the office with his dad's briefcase this time, the black suit. He found a little cubby hole, which he could call an office, and he made his own plastic nameplate. He went and introduced himself to the switchboard operator as a new staff member and gave his extension to her. And for 2 years, Spielberg says that he went around meeting directors and meeting actors and actresses and learning the craft of making movies. It was 2 years before Universal Studios realized what was going on with Spielberg. By that time, it was too late. He was already infected. He was already becoming a brilliant producer and executive of making movies. But it all began with Spielberg with a dream. It was the dream that he had. And you know, the Bible has so much to say to us about dreams. In fact, the greatest dreamer in the Bible probably was Joseph. If you go to the book of Genesis, Joseph was a man of dreams. At the age of 17, God gave Joseph two in particular dreams. And these dreams were controversial. I mean, these dreams were out of the box. Joseph had a whole slew of brothers. And Joseph came from a dysfunctional family. He was the favored brother of the 12 brothers. Joseph was the favored brother. And so the father, Jacob, was giving him the Technicolor dream coat, you know, giving him the finest clothes, giving him the finest accommodations. The other brothers hated him because the father showed favoritism to him. This family was a little dysfunctional. And one day, at age 17, Joseph announced to his brothers the dreams that God had given to him. In Genesis 37, God gave him two dreams. One dream was that there was a bunch of sheaves of wheat, and that Joseph's sheave of wheat grew taller than all the others, and all the others representing the brothers bowed down before him. Then God gave him another dream, that the sun, moon, and the stars were bowing down to him, and this represented the brothers. He went and shared this with his father and his brothers, and you know what? His brothers hated his guts because of it. They said, the little brother? I mean, Joseph was the second to the youngest brother. I mean, all these big brothers, the little runt, one day we're going to bow down before him. What's wrong with him? And they decided to devise a plot to express their anger and hostility to him. But Joseph kept believing the dream that God had put into his heart. And if you read the whole life of Joseph, beginning in Genesis 37 to the end of chapter 50, you'll see that Joseph was a man that pursued his dreams, and you'll also see that Joseph helped other people find their dreams as well. God has a great dream for the Edge Church. God has given us the opportunity to pursue this dream, and the question today primarily is, what is God's dream for a great church? What is God's dream for a great church? Great dreams begin, first of all, by seeking God's direction. That's the conception stage. That's where a dream is conceived. And there's a difference between us coming up with our dreams and asking God to somehow bless that, and us finding what God's dreams are for our lives and pursuing what he says. Big difference. This wasn't Joseph's idea. Joseph was a humble shepherd, you know, a humble farmer, just a humble man in this family who never had any idea that one day he would become a great ruler. God had a different plan. Joseph decided to follow the plans of God for his life, not just the plans that he had. And this is where great dreams begin, is when we commit ourselves to discover God's calling for our lives. And the Bible is full of people that had great dreams. David had a dream to build a great temple. Noah had a dream to build a great ark. Abram had a dream to become the father of a great nation. Nehemiah had a dream to one day build a great wall around the city of Jerusalem. Jesus Christ was driven by a dream that he would die on a cross, and then on the third day he would rise from the grave. And God has given the Edge Church a great dream, and that is the dream of life transformation. We stand on the edge today of moving into the greatest opportunity that our church has ever had, and that is to maximize our potential to change lives. We believe God is leading us to have our own facility, our own place. And when that begins to happen, we believe that we're going to have even a greater exponential impact on this community. Now, you don't have to be here long to realize that the Edge Church is having a profound effect on the lives of the people that are here. And if you've missed the last 3 or 4 weeks of our services, I would encourage you to go to our Facebook page and just to watch the videos of life transformation, because over and over and over and over again, God is doing amazing things in the lives of the folks right here at the Edge Church. Sometimes it's marriages being reconciled. Sometimes it's addictions being broken. Sometimes it's stories like what we saw with Martin just a moment ago. And, you know, Martin committed his life to Christ last year in the middle of a great time of loss. And God's doing some awesome things in his life as well. And God's doing some amazing things in your life. And God's going to continue to do even greater things in this community as we pursue the callings and the purposes of God. I'm so excited just to see the light bulbs kind of go off in the church. You know, it's been so much fun for me over these last few weeks because I've had an opportunity to talk with so many of you, and you've been able to share your heart for this community and what God is doing here. And I've been inspired by your stories and by your faith. And I'll tell you, the greatest thing that I'm beginning to see is people are really beginning to believe in the potential of what God is doing here. Just a few years ago, we had just, you know, 30, 40, 50 people in a worship service. And people came to the Edge Church because it was close. Or they came to the Edge Church because their kids went to one of our camps. Or because the people were nice. And all that's cool. But you know, now people are coming to the Edge Church because they believe that one day that the Edge Church is going to become one of the great churches of the Denver metro area and of this state and region. People are seeing the potential that we have as a local body of faith right here at the Edge Church. And I'm telling you, we are just getting started. God has a great plan for our church. And God has a great plan for our church because he's a great God. And I would submit to you this morning this, that God has a greater plan for the Edge Church than we do. Do you believe that? God has a greater plan for your life than you think that he does. God has a greater plan for our future than we believe that he does. Joseph had no idea what God was about to do in his life. He had the dream, but he didn't know how he was going to get there. And sometimes when we get the dream, then that's when God begins to develop the plan around that. Today, we don't know all the details. We don't know all the implications. We don't know exactly where this piece of property is going to be that we're one day going to call home. God's going to show us that. We're like Abram, pursuing the call of God. Where are you going? I'm going to the land of promise. Well, where's that? Well, I'm not quite sure, but I'm following the Lord. That's us. That's the Edge Church. God is filling in the blanks. God is leading and directing. And listen, there is nothing more exciting than being a part of what God has chosen to do right here in our own lives and in our own church. It's going to be great to see. Most people love the dream concept, but many are not willing to do what it takes to get there. You know, it's fun to sit around and talk about our potential and to talk about the great opportunities. But Joseph went further than that. Joseph didn't stop with the dream. He pursued his dream. And see, if we're going to be people that accomplish the dream before us, we have to get ready for adversity. There's a challenge stage. We have to get ready for adversity. And there's three challenges that are listed here in Genesis chapter 37 to 50. Because when we get ready for adversity, number two, in the challenging stage, then that's when God begins to take our faith to a whole nother level. See, Nehemiah had the dream to build the wall, but there were people in his camp that wanted to kill him, and there were people that were non-Jews on the outside, like Sanballat and Tobiah. They wanted to kill Nehemiah. They wanted to prevent the dream. Sometimes there's adversity when you pursue the callings of God. Noah was building an ark, but it took 100 years, and people thought he was crazy. Abram was called to be the father of a great nation, but he didn't have the son of promise, Isaac, till he was 100 years old. That's a long time. Jesus had to die on a cross for the sins of humanity before he could rise again. Doing great things for God doesn't always mean things are easy. And in the life of Joseph, Joseph had this dream that one day he was going to be a ruler. It was a dream from God. It wasn't his ego. But what happened? Joseph's brothers responded by selling him into slavery. Oh my goodness. God, that wasn't the plan that you had for my life. How did I get here? He's sold to a group of Midianites. He's now a slave. Then he finds himself in the house of Potiphar. He rises to become kind of the head servant of Potiphar. Potiphar's wife tries to seduce Joseph to have a relationship with her. Joseph refuses. She accuses him of trying to rape her, even though he has not. And he finds himself in prison for a long, long time for a crime that he did not even commit. And you have to wonder, God, how is the dream being fulfilled? Because I'm supposed to be a ruler, and now I'm in the pit. I'm in the prison. Sometimes life is like that. Sometimes we see shattered dreams. You know what, though? When you have shattered dreams, many times God will gather those pieces together to bring about the birth of new dreams. And some of us are here this morning, and you're looking at the dreams that you face and that you've had for your entire life, and things haven't gone the way that you had hoped and even that you had planned and the way that you thought. But this morning, today, if we will begin to learn from the life of Joseph, we will see how God can take the adversity and our brokenness and our heartaches and our struggles and how he can gather them together and give new dreams. Because you know what? The end of the story of the life of Joseph was not rotting in prison. God was not done with him. But there was adversity along the way. There was hardship. There was difficulties. And we see throughout the life of Joseph that he faced a lot of difficulties. One was he was stabbed in the back by his own brothers. He was betrayed by his brothers. And man, if you can just imagine that. We see also that Joseph struggled a little bit with pride. You know, when he announced this dream to his brothers, they were angry with him. Sometimes when God puts a dream in your heart, it's not wise to share it with other people. It got Joseph in trouble. It stirred the anger of the brothers. Joseph may have been a little prideful in doing so. But sometimes people get in the way of the dreams. Sometimes it's an ex-spouse or a boss or a friend or an enemy, if you will. And people think you're crazy when you dream. And we face difficulties when we have sometimes people problems. But listen, don't let your difficulties drive you from God. Let your difficulties drive you to God. Because Joseph's heart for God stayed strong. He stayed focused in the middle of being in prison, which is amazing to think about. You notice Genesis 37:8, the Bible says his brother said to him, Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? Ha, 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 ha. And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. And listen, there's some people that will be for you until you have a dream that's bigger than their dream. Joseph's brothers were fine with him dreaming whatever he wanted, but all of a sudden his dream got too big, and they wanted to try and do everything they could to extinguish the dream. What's wrong with you, little brother? You cocky little sucker, what's wrong with you? You know? You dream a big dream, people will think you're crazy. You dream a big dream, you dream a God dream, you'll be criticized. Do you know that? People will be angry with you because you're doing what you shouldn't be able to do. But really, it's God. Really, it's a God thing. My mentors, my spiritual mentors, have affirmed everything that we've done here at the Edge Church, which I'm so grateful for. I'm so grateful. I've been so blessed in my own life to have some wonderful men of God who have invested so much time and energy into me as a person and as a Christian leader. But when we moved here, there were others that thought the dream that we had for the Edge Church was kind of crazy. I had a pastor tell me, Ryan, I don't think it's even possible to start a church in Colorado. It's just too hard. Are you sure you want to do that? I had another pastor, he told a good friend of mine, it will take Ryan 10 years for the Edge Church to become financially independent. Almost impossible. He's going to starve to death. By the way, that's not true. We are well on our way to be financially independent long before 10 years. God is at work. God is at work. And so we can't let people or circumstances or even predicaments get in the way. Sometimes it's just situation. Sometimes it's just life. Sometimes it's just the stuff, an illness or a problem or some kind of adversity that stands in our way. And it may be that God is teaching us something that we have never seen before if we will move forward in faith. By the way, Joseph never felt sorry for himself. Joseph never said, woe is me. I'm so misunderstood. Joseph believed God was still going to fulfill the dreams that he had in his life. But sometimes life takes a curve and takes an unexpected direction. When that happens, we need to not lose faith. We need to maintain our focus. Many of you know Pierce O'Farrell. Pierce is sitting right here on the front row. Pierce was shot in the Aurora Theater shootings. We showed a video a couple weeks, a follow-up video on his story. Pierce said recently, he said something amazing. He said that this shooting has given him the greatest opportunity that he's ever known before. He said he would gladly take a bullet to share his faith with millions of people. Pierce took 3 bullets, you know. But you know what God did through that? God opened up the opportunity for him to speak to millions and millions and millions of people, and I'm not exaggerating, through media about his faith in Jesus Christ. What an amazing opportunity. Pierce is not feeling sorry for himself. He's believing God for great things. Did his life take a different direction than what he thought? Probably so. Is God still in control? Absolutely he is. And I'm pretty sure you've had some setbacks in your life, but you've never had a setback like Joseph. I mean, Joseph was stabbed in the back. Some of us have crazy parents and crazy families, okay? But Joseph's family was the chief of dysfunction. Nobody here has probably been sold as a slave, right? So when you feel sorry for yourself, you look at Joseph. And then I bet there's very few of us that have been falsely accused of a criminal activity and have been in prison. Maybe somebody, but probably most of us not. I'd say your life's pretty good compared to the life of Joseph. So don't let the predicaments of life, don't let the adversity that you face get in the way. And by the way, at the Edge Church, we're going to stay focused on the goal and dream that God has given to us until we achieve it. When are we going to have a building? We don't know. When attorneys and agents and architects and the city get involved, everything gets really complicated. It may take a little while for us to get into that facility. But listen, there may be some adversity along the way. There may be some hardship. But that doesn't mean that God's not in control, and that doesn't mean that God's not going to do great things. I remember in the last church that I pastored, we had a building project like this. We had a really sweet family in our church. They made a very sacrificial commitment that commitment day, just like today, a number of years ago. And you know what happened? He called me on Monday. You're never going to believe what he said. He said, "Ryan, we made this sacrificial commitment," and he told me the amount, and it was a big commitment. This is a middle class and average family. Man, they were sacrificing big time. He said, I made my pledge on Sunday. I came to church. You know what happened? I came to the office on Monday. I lost my job. The day after. You know what I knew he was going to say? He was going to say, "Man, tear that pledge card up, Ryan." That's not what he said. He said, "Pray for me that I can still do what God has put in my heart to do." I was like, whoa, you know? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Things were kind of tight the next few months. In fact, people in their own home group were actually giving them some money just to pay their bills, okay? Things were hard. But God opened up a door a number of months later for him to find a better job that he liked more, that he made more money. And by the end of the three-year commitment, we were in a three-year campaign, unlike this one. We're doing 2 years here, but 3 years there. Him and his wife both had a job making more money, and they enjoyed their job more. They fulfilled their commitment early and gave above what they had originally pledged, because they didn't lose sight of the dream in spite of the adversity. God provided. And God's going to provide for you. You know, somebody called me last night, and they said, "Ryan, we made a commitment on Friday night." Some of our leaders got together and made a commitment. And they said, "We made a commitment." They told me the amount. And they said, "This is amazing. On Friday night, we made the commitment. On Saturday, we received a check in the mail for that exact amount and just a little bit more the next day." Amazing. God is at work. God's going to provide for you. We're going to have some setbacks along the way. It may be hard at some times, but don't lose faith. Don't lose focus. Don't forget what God is doing. And that's how Joseph pursued his dreams. None of us have had setbacks as bad as Joseph. But you know what? The commentary of Joseph's life, when people think of Joseph, they don't think of the guy that stayed in prison. In fact, four times in Genesis 39, you know what the commentary on his life is? God was with him. If you read Genesis 39, you'll see in verse 2 it says, "The Lord was with Joseph." And then in verse 3, it says it again, "And the master saw that the Lord was with him." And then if you look at verse 21, it says, "But the Lord was with Joseph." And then verse 23, "Because the Lord was with him." I mean, it's all the way through. God was with Joseph. Can God be with us when we go through hardship? Absolutely. He absolutely can. And you know what? If you read the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 7, verse 9, the commentary in the New Testament on the life of Joseph in the Old Testament is not that he was depressed and bitter in prison. It was that God was with him. And when we think of the character Joseph in his life, we think about God was with the guy. God was blessing him. God was leading him. God was lifting him up and sustaining him. We can't always control the circumstances of life, but we can control our attitudes. We can control our focus. We can control our spiritual intensity and our devotion to Jesus Christ. You see, when that begins to happen, then we begin to do a third thing. That is, we begin to enjoy. We begin to enjoy what God has done. We begin to reap the benefits of those things. And we don't know how much time went by, but Joseph was probably in prison around 10 years. That's a long time to sit around and think about something. 10 long years. But we do know in verse 1 of chapter 41 that the 2 years had gone by from that time, and that he interpreted the dream for the butler, which takes place in chapter 41. So Joseph is interpreting dreams for the butler and the cupbearer. Word got back to Pharaoh that, hey, there's this guy that interprets dreams. Pharaoh says, "That's interesting, because I've had a dream and I don't know what it means. I need to talk to this guy." They go get Joseph out of the prison cell. They bring him before Pharaoh. Pharaoh shares his dream. Joseph tells him, "Your dream means there's going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine and you need to save as much food as possible during the 7 years of plenty so you don't starve to death during the 7 years of famine. And Pharaoh was so overwhelmed by that, he said, you know what, I'm going to make you prime minister. In fact, I need you to figure out how to do that. Joseph has now gone from the pit, the prison, to the palace in just a short amount of time. If Joseph would have quit interpreting dreams, Pharaoh would have never heard about his capacity and his potential, and he would have probably rotted in that prison cell. It's pretty amazing. God is really the hero of the life of Joseph. We could talk about what a great guy Joseph is, but I want to tell you, you can't see the life of Joseph without seeing the character of God. God is the hero of Joseph. And by the way, God is the hero of the Edge Church. It's not me, and it's not you, and it's not us. It's all about him. It's all about him. So that's our opportunity. The commentary in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20 and 21 of Joseph's life is so powerful. It says, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for the good, for the bringing about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your family and or your little ones." Isn't that incredible to think about today? Joseph now has had an encounter with his brothers. You know, the guys that sold him out, the guys that betrayed him, stabbed him in the back, you know, lied about him, told the father, Jacob, "Oh, he's been eaten by a wild animal. We don't know what happened to him. I mean, you know, we just found this cloak and there's blood all over it." They're starving to death. They go to Egypt to find food and they find Joseph. Joseph doesn't seek retribution. He doesn't punish them. He's reconciled to them. They apologize to Joseph. Joseph welcomes them with open arms. The family is saved. They move to Egypt. And God does an amazing work in the life of Joseph and his father and his brothers. And Joseph said, let me sum all of this up in verse 20. "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for the good." Some of us right now are going through some hardships in our life. But listen, if you won't lose faith and you won't lose focus, you'll find that God will bring about the good even from the hardship, even from the difficulties. And he says, "I will provide for you, so do not be afraid." You see, God has called the Edge Church to be about saving many lives, about reaching many people. This facility, this Reach Project, is all about reaching the people. God has brought us to this point today for a special time, a special time to reach this community. And now we're going to be making our pledges and our commitments in just a few minutes. And God's going to say the same thing about us. God meant it for the good, so don't be afraid. What God did was what took place so that many people could be kept alive, so many people could find faith in Christ, so that many lives could be changed, and so that the gospel could be spread throughout this entire region. And God used Joseph for these purposes. You know, if we don't give up on the dream, God will use us to reach this city in a powerful way. And I cannot wait to see what God is going to do. Because today is another bold step of faith for us moving forward to see God do amazing things. I want to do something that we've never done before in a group setting like this. We've done it in some smaller settings. But I want to ask you to stand in just a minute. If you've committed your life to Christ or been baptized here at the Edge Church, would you just stand at this time and let us just see where you are? Wherever you are, just stand up. Yeah. Let's give these guys a round of applause. Isn't that awesome? Fantastic. You guys can be seated. And I believe that God has many, many more people for us to reach with this powerful message, this message of life change and inspiration. Would you just bow your heads for a moment with me and let's just have a word of prayer today. Let's have a word of prayer, a moment of worship and silence today. Nobody moving around for just a moment. But maybe you've heard the word of God today and you're thinking, man, I've never met this God. I've never known the God of Joseph. And this morning you want to invite him to come in and to be the leader and the Lord of your life. while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I want to lead you into prayer in just a moment, a prayer of commitment, a prayer of life change, a prayer of inspiration. And I want to pray for you as we pray together in just a moment. But would you just slip up your hand wherever you are if you'd say, Ryan, today I want Christ to come into my life. I want to know the God of Joseph. I want to know the God of the Bible, and I want to have a relationship with Him. Wherever you are, would you just hold your hand up for just a second? Okay, right here, right here, right here, right here, right here in the back. Thank you. Somebody else? Right over here? Thank you. Thank you. Would you just pray this prayer with me? Just say, Lord, today, please come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I'm putting my faith in Jesus and what He did at the cross and the resurrection in order that I can receive new life in You. And we pray all of these things in the wonderful name of the One who gives us life. And while our heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed, I know there's another group of people here today. Maybe you'd say for me, Ryan, I want to have the faith of Joseph. I want to be the person that pursues the dreams and the callings that God has put on my life. And I need you to pray for me this morning, Ryan, because I need the strength and the power of God to help me to accomplish the mission that He's given me. Would you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you wherever you are. Right here in the back. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Right here, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, back row, thank you. Right here in the middle, thank you. Right here, back, yeah, thank you. Right over here on the side, thank you, thank you, thank you. Somebody else, man. Ryan, pray for me today. Right here, yeah, right here on the front, yeah. God, I pray for every person that's raised their hand that wants to be a person of faith and a person of spiritual vitality and strength. God, You would give hope. You would give perspective, that You would give spiritual power to accomplish the mission that You have given to each person that's here today. And we pray all of these things in the name of the One who gives us life, Jesus Christ. Amen.